extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM, thanks to Foodprint, the only food ordering app you need.
Morena Sam.
Good morning. How's everyone?
Pretty good. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about soy sauce.
I'm excited that you're talking about soy sauce too, because I use it a lot, but I also am kind of novice in that I don't really know what the right type to use for certain cooking is. So I'm hoping you're going to be able to illuminate that for me today.
Yeah. I mean, when shopping for soy sauce, especially like maybe your first few times of buying and trying it out, it's very intimidating. Like if you go into an Asian grocer and then you look at the soy sauce aisle, it's an entire section dedicated to soy sauce. And it gets really confusing, and I'm here to help you all out.
Yes, thank you. But
I'm excited to talk about soy sauce because it's something I use almost every day in my everyday cooking as a replacement or just a slight substitution to just salt, because it adds complexity. But that's not how it started. Ooh. So let me take you back.
We need like a time travel sting. We're like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's the thing. Yeah. So soy sauce or soya sauce in British English is the same thing. It is made from fermented soybeans, roasted grains, and a brine that is fermented with koji, which is a rice mold spore. So this started about 2,200 years ago, so a very, very long time.
Yes.
Yeah. It created because salt was such an expensive commodity back in the day. So in order for them to stretch the life of salt, they would preserve and ferment proteins such as fish and grains to create a paste, which is called jiang. So in Chinese, soy sauce is called jiang you. So it's paste oil or paste liquid.
Okay.
So once the paste is made, which is fermenting fish and grains with salt, they would use this instead of salt to cook because it would stretch to life. However, the byproduct of jiang is soy sauce. So it's the liquid from that sauce when pressed. So that's kind of how soy sauce came to be.
Right.
And then eventually over time, the fish element was removed and it was replaced with soybeans because it was more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And this also worked really well in lines with Buddhism and vegetarianism.
Got you.
So they would use that as their main flavoring staple.
So I was just going to ask, so this is something, are we talking about in China that it is originated, or did it have like different origins around the world?
Yeah, great question.
thanks.
Yeah, so it originated in China about 2,200 years ago, and it wasn't until the 13th century it was introduced to Japan. In Japan, they made their own version of something similar to soy sauce, but it was predominantly fish-based as well. So until Buddhism was introduced to Japan in the 7th century, then the introduction of soy products started coming in Japan, but not until the 13th century where Japan started making a lot of soy sauce.
Okay, that's real interesting. Comes with Buddhism. That kind of makes sense, actually.
Yeah. Not until the 17th century where it started being exported into Western cultures. In the Western world, there were many companies that attempted to make their own version of soy sauce. However, the lack of understanding of the koji fermentation and that fermentation preparation, they couldn't do it successfully. And that's why Asia, specifically Japan, Korea, and China are still predominant manufacturers of soy sauce.
That's so interesting. So how do you get that, what's it called again, the fermented quality?
Koji. So it's a mold. Yeah, it's a mold that's grown on rice. Yeah, and it's used in fermentation to make things such as sake and other various fermented rice products. But I'll tell you how soy sauce is made, though.
Okay, yes, please.
Yeah. So what you do is that you soak and cook soybeans. So soak them in water and you cook them either by steaming or boiling them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you use a grain, which is generally wheat or barley, which is then roasted and crushed into a powder. Then the cooked beans and the crushed wheat is mixed together to create a grain mixture, which is then combined with the koji culture. Mm. From here, it is then salted with either a wet brine or just coarse salt to ferment and develop flavor and break down those grains into a slurry, essentially, into a paste, and that's kind of what we know in this jung. The slurry is then poured into a cloth-lined container, and then it is pressed, and then the liquid that comes out is soy sauce.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, then the soy sauce either gets aged or pasteurized and then bottled immediately.
Wow.
So that's how soy sauce is made.
That's like such a, this is the revelation I'm having right now is why you see gluten-free soy sauce, and I'm realizing it's because some of it uses wheat, which I'd never really thought about as being part of it, because I think in my sort of naive mind, I thought it was literally just a soybean product. I didn't really realize that there were all these other added bits in it as well. So that's my small revelation I've had about, why is that one saying it's gluten-free and that one is not? Well, now I know.
Yeah, and actually wheat is almost one-to-one in terms of a good soy sauce ratio to soybeans. Yeah.
So that's how you make soy sauce. That's the history of soy sauce. Why do we have so many different types of soy sauce, and what do you use them for, Sam?
Good question. I will just go through probably the main five most common ones, because there's hundreds, if not thousands, out there. Okay, so the first one that we probably all know is light soy sauce.
Yes. Right?
So it's a thin viscosity, lighter in coloration, and it's very salty. So this is kind of the youngest version of it. Without any aging process, it's made relatively quick, and it's more for actually just seasoning or adding salt to food.
Okay.
Yeah, then we have premium light soy sauce. Have we heard of this one?
Yes. I think we have some in the pantry.
Yeah. Did you buy it because it said premium?
Probably. Just feeling a bit fancy one day and thought I'd get the premium light soy sauce instead of just the light soy sauce. But what's the actual difference?
Yeah. Similar to extra virgin olive oil. So it's the first press of the jiang paste, which is the soybean paste. So it generally has a lighter flavor. Mm-hmm. So it's not as salt driven. And it's perfect for dips or just seasoning food lightly for delicate flavors.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we have a dark soy sauce, and this is made with prolonged aging with the addition of molasses or caramel color.
Okay.
So, so this is used for braising or if you want to add a richness to a dish. It's mainly used for coloring dishes as well. So you'd only use a very little amount of this.
Okay, so this is more like one that's like for heartier cooking processes. So you don't just like sprinkle this one on at the end. This is definitely part of the cooking process.
Yeah, you do not want to eat this one raw.
Okay, good to know.
Then there's another version which is called dark mushroom, and this is the one I use quite often as well. It's similar to the dark soy sauce, but they add a mushroom broth in its process to give it a deeper, more complex umami flavor. And I guess the last one that's kind of quite confusing for a lot of people, but it's called tamari.
Yes.
It's actually not soy sauce. So it's similar to soy sauce, but it generally contains no wheat, and it's a byproduct of making miso.
Ah, okay. And so how do you, like, how would you use that? Do you use it in the same way that you'd use, like, a seasoning soy sauce?
I use tamari quite a bit as well, and it's kind of like an in-between light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still got richness. You can still use it for both cooking and dipping, but I like to use it for marinades of meat to add a deeper flavor, but without adding too much coloration.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I would use tamari.
This has been very enlightening. Thank you, Sam, for bringing us soy sauce today. I'm feeling quite hungry, as I always do at the end of this segment, and I'm going to go have a look at my pantry when I get home and work out what I've been doing wrong, to be honest.
Assess the soy sauce situation.
Exactly. Hey, it's thank you, Sam. You go. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, there's this whole art form to soy sauce as well, and, like, different makers would have different barrels with certain yeast, and they would mark them with their own terroir and region, and that's kind of why some places would have, like, $50 soy sauce bottles and stuff like that.
It's like buying a fancy wine or a fancy olive oil or anything that has, like, an artisan sort of quality to it.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Hey, thank you so much, Sam. Have a lovely rest of your morning, and we will talk to you again next week.
Thank you for having me.
Food for thought.
Breakfast Food on 95 BFM. Thanks to Foodprint, the only food ordering app you need.
Speaking of